Hi, I'm Felicia Lynch, your podcast host on identity, purpose and destiny. I hope you've been keeping well in these times. I've just spent the last few weeks recovering from COVID-19, and so I am thankful that the Lord has kept me. I have to say, I haven't been that sick or needed to visit a doctor in about 15 years. So for me, contracting COVID was the worst I've felt in forever. But truth be told, my symptoms were minor, so much so that the doctors felt that I just had a regular cold and didn't need to take a test. But, you know, thank God for mothers. My mum said, you know what, I think you should just go and do it just in case. And I tested positive. But my symptoms, as I say, were minor. I had a fever, but it only lasted a few days. And the worst thing that I had really was this prolonged migraine headache. But I'm in my third week and my symptoms have gone and I'm feeling a lot stronger and more energized. And thank God, no lingering symptoms. And really, my strategy for getting better was just to continue what I've always focused on, which is ensuring that my immune system is healthy, so that my body can fight whatever infection or whatever comes its way. And I think also what helped me and stood me in good stead was the fact that I wasn't stressed about COVID. You know, it's a really difficult time, and I know a lot of people are very anxious about it. But I was not stressed about it. You know, I had faith that either God would protect me from getting it, or if I did get it, that he'd deliver me through it. And so because I wasn't stressed, you know, that has a huge impact on our immune system, because, you know, stress is one of the things that depletes, you know, and puts our immune system into a state of confusion. And so it means then that we're, you know, unable to fight infection. And in fact, if you listened to my last podcast on setting faith goals for 2021, then perhaps you need to consider setting some goals around your health and well-being. So not just around exercise or improving your diet or getting good quality sleep, but also focusing on your thoughts, on what you think, especially about you know, stress and peace. You know, what we know is that Jesus will keep those, you know, in perfect peace whose minds are focused on him. And that is a real recipe for fighting stress right there. But does that mean we'll never, you know, face panic attacks or anxiety or depression? Not at all. But these are all warning signs that something in our inner life needs addressing. And so I'd urge you to look at or have a listen to that podcast and start setting some faith goals. But the whole thing led me to think about other stressors, and particularly with respect to purpose. So today I want to talk about how our purpose can help us to remain at peace, in the sense that when we have no direction in life, then this in itself is stressful. We can end up just reacting to life's challenges and not knowing what's important to focus on. So we either try and do everything, or we get demotivated and do nothing. But at the same time, finding and discovering our purpose can also be stressful, because we have you know, this kind of fixed idea as to when I find my purpose, you know, certain things will happen. And I want to, if you like, debunk some myths about the fact that when we find our purpose, certain things will happen. Because there are three things I would say that are a myth concerning finding our purpose. And if we don't debunk the myths, again, that can put us into a state of stress when the thing that we believe doesn't actually transpire. So here's the three myths that I'm going to address today. The first one is, my purpose will give me one clear direction. The second, my purpose will make my life easier. And then lastly, my purpose will make me a celebrity. So let's start with the first one. My purpose will give me one clear direction. The quest of finding our purpose is just that, it's a quest. And it reminds me of Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. We're all kings and priests, and so it takes intentionality and effort to find our purpose. We do have to search it out. But it's a myth to think that when we find our purpose, we will have this absolute clarity of direction or vocation or whatever. I love the story of Eric Liddell. He's one of the main protagonists in the movie Chariots of Fire. And if you haven't seen it, it's an amazing movie and I would highly recommend it. And in one scene, he speaks to his sister and he says he's decided to go back to China as a missionary as he believes God created him for a purpose and that it was for China. And his sister's overjoyed, you know, and that really should be it, right? Job done. He's found his purpose. He's going back to China. But no. He then says to her, but I've got a lot of running to do. And his sister looks at him, this is from the movie, and his sister looks at him confused. After all, hasn't he just found his purpose? But in the movie, and I love the way they depict it there, he goes on to say, you know, he says to his sister, you know, he made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give it up would be to hold him in contempt. It's not just fun. To win is to honour him. And for me, that shows the aspect of our purpose of worshipping God. If you haven't been tracking with me, I would recommend you go back and listen to episode 5 of my podcast where I give an introduction to purpose. Because in it, I share about the three elements of purpose. Firstly, to worship God. Secondly, discipleship and discipling others. And then third, making a contribution to the world, bringing kingdom on earth. So what we see with Eric Liddell is in his story is that he's fulfilling that first element of purpose, worshipping God. You know, we're made for God's pleasure. And he has a clear sense of you know, being able to feel God's pleasure as he runs. Yet going to China as a missionary was how he walked out, if you like, maybe element two, the discipleship piece of being, you know, of walking in purpose. And then I'd say his whole life story, which is documented, you know, very well, is how he walked out making a contribution to the world. I mean, he has inspired so many people through his story. You know, I'm a life and leadership coach, and all too often I see people struggling to find their purpose. And I say struggling versus it being a voyage of discovery because of this myth that it's going to give them one clear vocation or one clear, you know, career direction or opportunity. Or worse, people believe that, you know, God's purpose can only be expressed by serving him in a traditional ministry capacity. So I'll give you an example. I coached a doctor and she, you know, felt that she wasn't being taken seriously, particularly within her faith community, because she had so many passions. She was a doctor and, you know, loved being a doctor and really, you know, felt that that was a calling. But she also loved business and she wanted to set up a company that was totally unrelated to medicine. And she loved children. So she had ideas around things she wanted to do in that area too. But she had such a negative mindset that she was, as we used to say when I was growing up, jack of all trades, master of none. And when people used to say that, it wasn't a compliment. And yet, when I did her gift assessment and it showed her how diverse her gifts were, and like Eric Liddell, you know, if that's how God's created you with, you know, this sense of, you know, of things that you do that, you know, that you sense God's pleasure, that it's part of your worship to God, then why shouldn't you do them all? You know, similarly for me, in my own experience, I have a passion for justice. And so I became a lawyer, but at the same time, I loved, you know, business and developing leaders and building organizations. And so, you know, I've had the opportunity to pursue all of those and know that I'm walking in purpose when I do that. It is true that we have to prioritize and focus. But if we allow ourselves to be open to the opportunities that God sends our way and, you know, and try to continually lean into the leadings of the Holy Spirit, then the issue of what to focus on or when or what to prioritize will kind of take care of itself. And you know, so, you know, everything's for a season. You know, Eric Liddell ran in the Olympics and then he went and became a missionary. He still did some, actually, he still competed in a couple of events after that whilst he was a missionary. But after that, he then focused on being a missionary, you know. And so, as I say, you know, the Lord will lead, but we have to be open and know that there isn't just one clear definitive path. So the second myth that I want to debunk, if you like, is that my purpose will make my life easier. You know, our modern culture is just littered with schemes to help us find our purpose, and the outcome will be that it leads to this dream lifestyle and, you know, everything in life will be okay. But the kingdom life doesn't look like that because it doesn't focus on comfort. And that's not to say that God doesn't want us to, you know, to have good things in life. You know, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And God doesn't want a life of drudgery for us. But Jesus also made it clear that life was not about stuff and things. You know, in Luke 12:15, he says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.'" And we also know that we're to seek the kingdom of God first and its right and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to us. So our focus is not really about seeking comfort or ease or the world's dream lifestyle, you know, with possessions and being able to do, you know, anything we want and, you know, go anywhere and have the best cars and this kind of thing. And again, you know, wealth is a good thing. You know, let's not have the sort of mindset that's completely to the other side, which is, you know, poor and humble, and that's, you know, next to godliness, because that's not the case. But our purpose should help us lean into a kingdom lifestyle. That's one of righteousness, which is right relationship with God, self, and others. It's about peace. That's the shalom. You know, wholeness, a life of wholeness and well-being, and that's integrous. And lastly, a life of joy, and that's joy in the Lord. You know, we have an assurance of eternal life, but also joy because we know that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But it's not a joy based on circumstances or things that we own or comfort, and that's what makes it different. And also, when we walk in our God-given purpose, we have to expect challenges. You know, life will not be easy. The enemy knows that if God's people walk in purpose, then people will come to know Jesus and we will fulfill, you know, his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And the enemy really doesn't want that. And again, you know, Eric Liddell's story is a real example of how when you're walking in purpose, it's not easy. You know, Eric says he knew and he sensed God's pleasure when he ran, but he was confronted with really hard decisions and ones that tested his conviction to his faith. He competed in the 1924 Olympics held in Paris. The heat for his race was to be held on a Sunday, and that's his best race, the 100 meters. Can you imagine that, you know, the event of your, you know, that you've trained hard for, this is the Olympics and that you're gifted at, is being held on a Sunday, and Eric refused to race. He refused to compete. But he trusted God, and because he knew the schedule of the races ahead of time, he switched to a completely different race and decided to enter the 400 meter race rather than the 100 meter sprint. And although he qualified, you know, in the heat to enter the race, his times were well below those that were typically seen by his international competitors. And it's reported that on the morning of the Olympic 400 meter final, one of the team masseurs handed him a note. And when he read it later on, it said, "The old book, it says, in the old book, it says, 'He that honors me, I will honor, wishing you the best of success always,'" which is a reference to 1 Samuel 2:30. And despite the odds being against him, Eric won the Olympic 400 meter record. And in the midst of quite a bit of controversy, they also declared his time a new world record. And so we have to expect, you know, that there's going to be challenges. And, you know, even Eric's story later on in life, you know, he did eventually become a missionary in China. And he got caught up in the invasion of the Japanese into China. And the result was that he and a number of other missionary workers and families were interned internment camp, a Japanese operated civilian assembly center, as they called them, that was created in World War II to hold civilians of allied countries living in North China. in effect, they were prisoners of war. But despite that, he still lived a life of purpose, you know, not only teaching the children and adults at the camp, but becoming a leader and giving hope to many. But he died in the camp 45 days before the camp was liberated. He had a brain tumor. And again, it just goes to show that, you know, achieving your purpose is not necessarily going to be a life of ease. And I can say that, you know, from my own experiences on my purpose journey, I've, you know, had to, you know, experience significant challenges, and I've made many sacrifices, including moving from country, you know, to country on numerous occasions, which, you know, might sound very glamorous, but effectively, my husband and I were missionaries, and that meant we had to learn to live with very few possessions, including a permanent home, so that we could be free to move at the leading of the Lord. It also meant that whenever we did live somewhere, you know, because we knew that the Lord was likely to move us on, we never bought anything new. You know, we bought furniture secondhand and everything else. So, as I say, it's not always easy. And I've also had to, you know, had the situation of where I've had to stand up for my convictions and lean into, you know, the principles of my faith. So, for example, at one point I was asked to spy on one of the governments that I was working for, and I was being offered significant career opportunities if I would do it. Or I was kind of, it was being intimated to me that the alternative was that they would seek to remove me from my position, with obviously the associated financial consequences that would bring. But I had to stand my ground and walk in integrity of character. And so I can tell you, walking in purpose is not easy. So if you truly desire to walk in your God-given purpose, expect opposition and challenges. You know, the other thing is that our life message is often based on the pain that we've experienced or the challenges that we've experienced. And, you know, we often quote the scripture, you know, all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And it doesn't mean that all things will be good, but God doesn't waste those seasons of pain in our life. But because he's concerned more with our growth and his glory than our comfort, nothing glorifies him more than difficult situations where the enemy thinks he's won and we hold fast to our faith and overcome by the, you know, by the power of God. I mean, Jesus is our model for that. You know, his finest hour came as a consequence of his death. He had to die, you know, for the glory of the resurrection to take place, and that ushered in the redemption of all man. So, something for us to think about. And then the last myth, the third myth that I want to debunk, is that my purpose will make me a celebrity and that will glorify God. Again, you know, our culture has conditioned many of us to think that purpose and celebrity go hand in hand. And it is true that when you walk in purpose, you have the power of influence, you know, within your sphere of influence, and you know, that may grow. But becoming a celebrity doesn't automatically glorify God. Celebrity status, more often than not, is about us, our story, our resilience to overcome, and our choices that lead to the dream life. You know, that's the kind of, you know, the positioning in the world right now. And can this help people? It can. Of course it can. But as a disciple of Christ, our celebrity status, if we have it, isn't about, you know, us. It's about a lifestyle of worship to God, and it also provides the opportunity to point people to Jesus. You know, it's about glorifying him. So it means that we really have to check our heart posture, you know, our motivation for wanting to become a celebrity or an influencer. Again, Eric Liddell, you know, he became famous for his running, but his motivation wasn't fame. He ran to please God. It was an act of worship. And as I mentioned, he was in the internment camp and became a leader in the camp. But again, his motivation was about serving others. We may or we may not, you know, come to a place where we're known by the world, but our focus has to be not on fame or vainglory, all the trappings that go with that. It has to be on the fact that we are seeking to worship God and to glorify him. And the other thing is that if that's not our motivation, then we can very quickly become derailed. And it reminds me of the story of Saul, who God anointed king through the prophet Samuel. And in 1 Samuel 15, you know, Saul is told by Samuel, to go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them and not to spare anything or anyone. So Saul goes into battle, he defeats them and destroys them, but he only destroys those things that he sees as despised or weak, but he keeps, it says, the best of the cattle and the sheep and everything he sees as good. So when Samuel finally goes to find Saul, you know, Saul is clearly very pleased with himself and what he's done, and he has no issue with the fact that he spared the cattle and the sheep and the king. And when Samuel confronts him about it, he says, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. And this is in 1 Samuel 15:15. And it shows me a couple of things when I read this passage of scripture. Firstly, there's an issue of character with Saul, because there he is, he's the leader, he's the king, but he's blaming his men, saying they brought them and they spared, you know, the sheep, the cattle, etc. But he says, but I, you know, we totally destroyed the rest. Although Samuel tries to explain, you know, and confront him about his disobedience, he tries to make it virtuous because of this sacrificing of these animals to the Lord. But basically the final analysis is that, you know, partial obedience is still disobedience. And the fact is, Saul was, you know, more concerned with his status as being a king, because Samuel has to remind him, you know, I knew you when you were a nobody because I anointed you. And the sort of trappings of the good things, you know, and keeping those are things that, you know, lead to his downfall. So God rejects Saul for his disobedience. And the story kind of shows us that if our motivation is celebrity, fame, the trappings of success, etc., then there's a good chance that we'll likely compromise to hold on to those things. You know, I often say it as a reminder to myself, just as much as to anyone else. You know, our gifts make room for us, but it's our character that keeps us in the position of influence. And good character means maintaining our convictions and not allowing fame, money, power to be our driving force. But for us, we need to stay rooted and grounded in Christ, as he alone should be our driving force, our heart motivation. And it's interesting because we sort of see that confirmed later on in the same story in Samuel, where Samuel then goes to anoint David, Saul's successor. And in 1 Samuel 16:17, you know, the Lord says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we really do have to focus on what's going on inside. What's our heart motivation? But that said, you know, it's a real pleasure and a blessing to discover your purpose and go on that journey. So if you're seeking to discover your purpose, I'd say remember this. It's a myth that it will lead to one clear, definitive path. Remain open and allow God to use whatever he's gifted you with in whatever way he chooses and in his time frame. It's a myth that my purpose will make my life easier. Expect challenges and opposition. It's in the way we deal with the struggle and, you know, in the way that God allows us to overcome that he is glorified. It's a myth that being a celebrity automatically brings glory to God. Steward your influence well. Check your heart posture. Ask yourself, is it truly about glorifying God or is it about glorifying yourself? I hope today's podcast helps you on your journey to discovering your purpose. And if you're open and allow the Holy Spirit to lead, he's going to take you on an amazing, exciting and fulfilling journey. But it may not look like you imagined or expected, and it will have stumbling blocks, so be prepared. I'd love to hear what you're doing right now in terms of finding and discovering your purpose, and also what you're being able to put into practice from the podcast. So email me at Felicia